Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.com. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
It is the Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, streaming online at WQAM.com. I'm broadcasting live here from the BB&T Center in beautiful Sunrise, Florida. What a great sports weekend it is. Every South Florida team in action. The Panthers tonight and tomorrow. The Heat tomorrow night. Sands Whiteside with that bruised left knee. Unfortunately, got some injury issues already for your Miami Heat with the Deion Waiters ankle as well. Miami Hurricanes, Miami Dolphins all in action this week. And speaking about those Dolphins, it's time for our Dolphins report with Omar Kelly. It's brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar joins us now here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. So, Omar, Adam Gase has said multiple times this week that the last time the Dolphins faced the Jets, they got their butts kicked. And butt, I don't think is the word that he used, but they lost the battle in the trenches. They lost the battle of physicality. Do you see the Dolphins as kind of a different team than the one that got clowned by the Jets back in week three?
I don't. I know that's going to break some people's hearts, but I don't know if you can become more physical on the, you know, you were basically the only team in the NFL that the Jets punked, because everybody's been able to successfully run against them except for the Dolphins, who produced 30 rushing yards. Now, a lot of that stuff is self-inflicted. They did a ton of penalties, a ton of negative plays. But, you know, that's how a Todd Bowles, Tony Sperano-esque team plays, and that's their approach. I just don't know if the personnel change, you know, the only personnel change that I could really tell you is going to be Raekwon McMillan and Lawrence Timmons and Cordrea Tankersley. But, you know, the problems weren't defensively. You know, last I checked, the Dolphins limited the Jets to, I believe it was 20 points. The problems were on offense.
Yeah, Omar, do the Dolphins have an identity offensively? I think it's pretty clear that that the defense has come into their own this season. You had brought up today they have not allowed more than 21 points all season, which that number looks even better when you consider how ineffective the offense has been. So the defense has done whatever they could. But is there any identity on this offense?
No. The identity of the team is they're a defense-led team. I mean, when you got guys like the Showtime's NFL show, Boomer Esiason, saying that this could be a championship-caliber defense, that's high praise, very lofty praise. But, you know, offensively, they want to be a base play-action offense. Unfortunately, they're not consistent or efficient enough on the run. And they've had teams like the Chargers and last week against the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons. You got to remember that, Omar. That was a big win.
Yeah, season possibly changing win.
Yeah.
The question is, do you have an offensive identity? And I don't think they're going to get one immediately until Devontae Parker gets back. Right now, yeah, you're going to rely on a lot of the two tight end sets, which I think is healthy for you as a team, especially healthy when it helps you in the run game. But are you comfortable with where you are from an offensive standpoint? I would say no, not a chance.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Omar, Mike Pouncey is still technically in the concussion protocol, but he did go through some practice today. Do you expect him to play on Sunday?
I do expect him to play. I've seen the Dolphins work this miracle before where they got Mario Williams clear to play in 1 week of practice, basically just putting him out there for that Friday walkthrough and then Saturday's practice. And as long as the baseline of his brain activity stays the same, he doesn't suffer any setbacks, headaches, or things of that nature, yeah, he's going to get his clearance. And I think that that's a step in the right direction, because I would hate to see what this offensive line looks like against the Jets without Mike Pouncey. But, you know, it is what it is. You got to play without your top players. And the first game of the season, they played without Lawrence Timmons, which was, you know, the first two games of the season, they played without Lawrence Timmons. So I'm pretty confident that Mike Pouncey's going to play. I know this is important to Mike.
How about, Omar, you talked about Lawrence Timmons being in now. What about Ray Maaluga? What kind of a difference has he made to that linebacking core these last couple of weeks?
I don't know if he's played enough snaps to make a significant difference, but what I will tell you is that he's better against the run than Mike Hull is, and he's better against – well, I can't really say he's better than the pass, against the pass, because Mike – it's hard not to say that, because Mike Hull was probably one of the worst pass coverage linebackers that Dolphins have had, if not Dolphins have seen. Like, every pass was played against Mike Hull. No shade against Mike Hull. He was doing the best that he could, but that wasn't his role. I think the biggest thing that you see now is with Lawrence Timmons back, Timmons takes those nickel snaps, which means less Mike Hull, and you're starting to see that defense tighten from the front end. However, it should be pointed out that quarterbacks are still completing 72% of their passes. Opposing quarterbacks still have 102 passer rating, cumulative passer rating against the Dolphins. So anybody who wants to, you know, pop bottles and celebrate the dominance of the Dolphins defense, do keep in mind that they are still one of the worst pass coverage teams in the NFL.
Omar, in the receiving core, if Devontae Parker doesn't play, and it seems like it would take maybe a minor miracle for him to play this week, who steps up? Will we see Rashawn Scott, or will we see Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant have meaningful roles?
Well, Rashawn Scott would have to be activated off the PUP. He's basically got a two-week tryout to work his way up to the 53-man roster. That I don't, you know, unless he's activated tomorrow, I don't see that happening. And really, I have a hard time believing a guy is gonna, you know, be dusted off after not practicing for the last 2 months and all of a sudden be active for a game. But it's gonna have to be Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant. The reason I say Leonte Carew over Jakeem Grant is because I know Jakeem Grant is not. You want to be a run based team. Jakeem Grant can't block, run block. So why would he be on the field? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Conceptually, if you cannot run block, why would you, and you are a run-based team, why would you put Jakeem Grant on the field unless it's for gimmick plays? And I'm fine, and I think it's appropriate for Jakeem to be on the field for gimmick plays, but if we're talking about a three-receiver-based formation, 11 stack, You got to play Leonte Carew. The problem is, as Adam Gase admitted to today, is when things don't line up like how Leonte Carew expects them to line up, he starts to play a little bit slower. He's thinking a little bit too much, and that's unhealthy for an NFL wide receiver. That's unhealthy for an NFL player. So he's got to get more comfortable, and the only way he can do that is with more snaps, unfortunately.
Omar, as this Dolphins offense is, you know, looking for dramatic improvements and looking for an identity, do you think that the improvements are going to come more from tweaks and schematic adjustments, or are they going to come more from just repetitions and guys not missing assignments? Like, are adjustments needed, or is it just execution?
Oh, definitely adjustments are needed. I think that they benefit from going to more two tight end sets. I think they benefit from changes in personnel, like using Damian Williams as a third down back instead of Jay Ajayi. Just subtle changes. Changes in how you use Jarvis Landry, or get, you know, put him in motion. You know, I don't think the wide receivers have gone into motion as much as they did last year, and it sort of shows that the offense is a little bit stagnant now. I know they want to run more of an up-tempo offense. We saw it earlier in the season, and then all of a sudden they had to slow down because they were struggling and hemorrhaging. So obviously that's the next step for the offense. But, you know, I don't think you have to make drastic personnel change or drastic scheme changes, but I think everybody just has to do a better job of executing what they're trying to do or what they're responsible for doing, and that includes the coaching staff. Sometimes you have to change up your approach, which is what the Dolphins did going into that Steelers game. They changed up their approach last year. They were like, okay, we think we're this. We're clearly not this, so we have to become this. If Adam Gase, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish your thought. You cut out there for a second, I thought.
If Adam Gase hasn't looked at his offense after the last five games, knowing that they're the worst offense in the NFL by a wide margin, the only team that's even close is the Cleveland Browns, who have no kind of talent on it. If you ever realize you have a problem and you might need to change your identity, then, something's wrong with you.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on WQAM. And Omar, I know I can't be the only person a little bit puzzled by how much Jay Ajayi is still struggling to catch passes out of the backfield, because I've seen how hard he's working on it. And I know it was a different scheme completely in college, but he caught a ton of passes at Boise State. I know that they're not the same sort of situations, but why isn't he catching passes now?
I don't know. I can honestly tell you, I just don't think he's, Jay, and I'm sure the coaches disagree with me, but show me the play where Jay Ajayi jukes a guy and makes a defender miss in the open field. Jay's more of a shed to tackle. Like, right. The guy's going to bounce off him, or he's going to stiff arm the guy, or he's going to run away. Yeah, he's a downhill runner. You're not seeing an elusive. This isn't Reggie Bush out there, and he's not even Damian Williams. So I don't know why the Dolphins continue to try to reinvent the wheel. Okay, you try to to let him show that he's a better all-purpose three-down back, but clearly he's not. He's not Damian Williams. Damian Williams is an amazing pass protector, which is going to help you in the pocket. He can take on a defensive end. Not well, but he could do it. Jay Ajayi is okay. And then pass catching, rarely does the first defender make Damian Williams, in a passing game, does the first defender take him down. That's an asset that makes you a very good third down back, and it's just not something that Jay Ajayi has in his arsenal.
Omar, this is a good question that came in on the defense from the text line. Is we're a few weeks, what are we, 3-4 weeks away from T.J. McDonald being eligible to play? I think that would be week 9 he
after
can come
Oakland.
Back. What kind of a difference is he going to make?
I'm very curious about that because, I know he got this new big fat contract, and I know he's started every single game he's ever played in the NFL, and I really was intrigued by what I saw from him in film and in training camp. However, he's got an identical game to Rashad Jones, and my problem with that is when Rashad Jones is asked to be the free safety, he's not good. And I'm not saying he's adequate. He's just not good. And he is an in-the-box safety. So if T.J. McDonald has been an in-the-box safety his entire career, and Rashad Jones has only been good as an in-the-box safety his entire career, who exactly is going to be playing center field for the Dolphins defense? So I have no idea, honestly, how it's going to work or how it's going to fit, because the only game that we saw it actually them play together was the Philadelphia game where the Dolphins got shredded defensively. I don't mean to rain on people's parade on this, but if you got two in-the-box safeties, that generally has not worked out very well for this Dolphins team. I can name them for you, these in-the-box safety tandems that the Dolphins have had. And it's generally not – anytime Rashad Jones has been asked to be the center field safety, he's not good. And that, to me, will be the biggest mystery about what's going to happen moving forward. Can T.J. McDonald become a center fielder, ball hockey type of free safety?
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. So, Omar, last time out, Dolphins Jets in Week 3. They got their butts kicked. They were out physical, even though when I spoke to Todd Bowles about it, he's a humble guy. He downplayed it. He said, no, we just made fewer mistakes than he did. We both saw the Dolphins get out-muscled in that game. And the mistakes came into play as well.
Yeah, I would agree with Todd Bowles. I'm not sure they're – yeah, offensively, they pushed them around. But the Jets couldn't run the ball against the Dolphins. They just beat them on big plays and made less mistakes. I would say probably the Jets had the edge on special teams, which was a surprise to me. So I'm not certain we can, you know, did the defensive line push Miami's offensive line around? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did they make them one-dimensional and take away the run game, which takes away the play-action passing game, which forces you to be exclusively pass, 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 and then that just sets you up for failure, especially when you're trailing, and they just choked on their own saliva? Yes, that did happen, but I'm not necessarily certain that we can say without a doubt the Jets are just absolutely more physical than the Miami Dolphins.
Well, what's your prediction? What's your feeling for this Sunday?
I think the Dolphins should edge to win this game out. The Jets, yeah, they were aided by the fact that, you know, keep in mind that was Jets' first win, and the Dolphins just gave them a significant confidence boost. And now it's come back to earth moment for them. I think that being on the road is going to be a huge challenge for them, especially if the Dolphins crowd is behind the team and not cheering for Matt Moore after, you know, two snaps. And I think that this home crowd and the heat and humidity should help the Dolphins produce a 21-17 victory against the Jets.
I like it. And despite their troubles, Omar, sometimes I have to remind myself and remind fans that the Dolphins are 3-2, despite the issues that they've had offensively. So should fans be looking at the Dolphins as a team that at least is competing for a playoff spot, or should they not think of that until some of these issues get fixed?
I mean, last time I checked, the Dolphins were in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so the right sixth seed, yeah.
It's far too early to even begin thinking about any of that kind of stuff. But last time I checked, they were in the playoffs. And for all that you've endured and gone through and experienced and overcome, for you to have a winning record at 3-2 at this point in the season is like moving mountains. You should be celebrating that, because the best thing that happens in the NFL is you face adversity and still win. And that's what they've been able to do. To me, and I've said this on Twitter, I said this on X and Omar during the week, and I truly believe this, and I don't just say it because we're at this point in the year. I've always looked at this five-game stretch that's going to happen right now as the most important stretch. What you do before you play the Patriots in New England, in Foxborough, is going to set the tone of whether or not you make the playoffs. If you can have an impressive stretch of games right now, let's just say winning three of the five, getting to six wins on the season, and all you need to do is win four more the rest of the way, I think you'll make the playoffs. But this is the stretch that you're going to have to really make big gains.
Dolphins, take notice, the big stretch starting now. He is Omar Kelly, covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. Omar, thank you so much, my friend, and enjoy the game this Sunday. I'll see you there.
All right, Donald.
Yeah, good stuff there, as always, from Omar. We're going to get a scouting report on the Syracuse Orange when we come back. Matt Park, who is the play-by-play voice for Syracuse, he's going to join us. And, you know, of course, Cuse, they are riding very high right now off of an upset win over then-ranked number 2 Clemson, and they are trying to do that, beating top 10 teams twice in a row. They come into our house tomorrow. We're going to talk to the voice of the Syracuse Orange, Matt Park. He will join us next to break it down. But I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. Man, the Quarterdeck is my spot. Whether you're watching a big game or watching a big fight, there's no better place than the Quarterdeck, with the flat-screen, high-definition TVs covering every wall. With the delicious food, all the fresh seafood, the world-class sushi, the oysters, the Maine lobster, the fresh mahi. Man, if you're not a seafood fan, the chicken wings are unbelievable. Build your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. The turkey burger is great. The chicken ciabatta sandwich. But you want to save room for dessert, my friends, because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And the Quarterdeck has great drink specials. 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. They have an impressive wine selection. You can watch every UFC pay-per-view fight, including UFC 217 on November 4th, for zero cover charge at the Quarterdeck. It doesn't get any better than that. So you want to find your location, the location nearest to you, by visiting quarterdeckrestaurants.com. Because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a ain't one. I got the rap patrol.
Back here on the Alex Donald Show, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Streaming online, WQAM.com. Broadcasting live from the beautiful BB&T Center in Sunrise, where the Panthers host the Pittsburgh Penguins about an hour from now. And tomorrow afternoon, friends, at 3:30, the Miami Hurricanes will look to stay undefeated when they host the Syracuse Orange. Going to get a scouting report here on Syracuse from Matt Park. He is the play-by-play voice on the Syracuse Radio Network. Matt, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you for taking some time tonight. And I got to tell you, earlier this week, I was watching the just unbelievable post-game locker room video after the Clemson win with Dino Babers addressing his team, and I could just feel the joy in watching that. Like, what can a victory like that do for this team's confidence?
Well, it's already helped a great deal. I do think there needs to be some backup for it to have long-lasting effects. That doesn't necessarily mean beating the number 8 team in the country who's previously unbeaten, but it does mean getting to a bowl or, you know, that type of thing. Now, I think even short of all of that, it can have benefit because it already has. Now they're capable, they know they're capable of beating good teams. It's gotten the attention of people around the area and should lead to, you know, renewed support and ticket sales and all of those things. So it's a good time right now around the program, and I think everybody's anxious to see what the next step is.
You know, the Syracuse offense obviously getting a lot of the headlines, and rightfully so, but the defenses look very good to me, Matt. They held Clemson to 17 points last week. What are some of the keys defensively that the Orange are going to look at to try and slow down the Canes this week?
Well, it's funny because there was one at least in the Clemson game, but for the most part, they have not been torched, you know, with the 60 and 70-yard play that was pretty commonplace last year. They gave up 6 20-yard gains a game. They gave up 1 60-yard game a game last year. And those have not been as likely this season. And that's kind of hard because of the level of talent that there is in the ACC. They've been very good on third down, primarily because they've stuffed the run on first and second down. They've done a better job there. And right now they're looking at the best 1 year to the next improvement in scoring defense in school history. It's double-digit points right now. So they're staying in games for that reason. And I think that builds a little confidence coming into these remaining games in that they haven't been blown out, and they ought to, you know, be able to stay in touch. And the offense should be good for, you know, at least a few points. So I think they're feeling pretty good about being able to mix it up with Miami.
You know, one player that is getting talked about a lot in these parts this week is Steve Ishmael, the wide receiver who's a South Florida native. You think he's got a little bit of an extra chip on his shoulder this week?
Yeah, I wouldn't view it as a chip on his shoulder. I think he does want to come and have a good showing. He said his parents have never been to the Carrier Dome to see him play, and they're going to at the game. I heard the our internal ticket people talking about the hundreds of tickets that they're going to have for the handful of area players to bring their families and work that out tomorrow. So I think we're all happy for Ish, who's had a great career and is obviously having his best season to this point. He's a great kid, always with a smile on his face, says and does the right things, catches everything that's thrown to him, and has lots to come this year. But he would love to get to a bowl game with his teammates and then maybe the All-Star circuit and that type of thing. So he's doing North Miami Beach proud, and I hope he has a good showing in this game and that he and the other South Florida guys have a representative performance at the stadium on Saturday.
We are talking with Syracuse Orange play-by-play voice Matt Park. He joins us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Tell me, Matt, about Eric Dungy, the quarterback, who, of course, played very well last week, and he's having a nice season. How do you think he is looking to thrive tomorrow against the Canes?
Well, he's a great kid, very smart, has benefited from a second year in the offense. It's his first time going back to his early high school days that he's had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. And this offense is suited to putting up numbers. You throw the rock a lot. It's a lot of run plays that are scored as pass plays, and he is a very good decision maker, accurate passer, and he's a good runner of the football himself. So I think he'll be one of the better quarterbacks that Miami has seen this year. Syracuse can't do much if it doesn't include him. He's got to lean on the various weapons that he has and open up passing lanes over the course of the game. He's the team's leading touchdown rusher for a reason. And I think those of us that are watching him kind of perform week after week on a consistent basis are really getting excited about the numbers that he could put up over his time here. he keeps going and stays healthy, he's looking at, you know, basically being a four-year starter, missing maybe half a season during that run and performing and putting up big numbers every week.
And lastly here, Matt, I'm curious as to what you've seen in Miami, what your study this week has shown you. Where do you think the Canes might be able to offer Syracuse the most problems?
Well, I just think there's so much talent and speed on this team. I mean, and it's no fluke, I think, that if you look, there's a lot of, you guys know better than anybody, of course, that there's, you know, a lot of sophomores and juniors and guys that were recruited by this coaching staff that are getting in there and they're ready to play. You know, Miami's always been able to recruit. There's so much talent down here. And, you know, so for Syracuse, they'll be outmatched in terms of the sheer talent on the field. They're just going to have to play better to be competitive in this game. I'm anxious to see, you know, Miami's the kind of place when the number one running back goes down, the next guy gets his first start and he runs for 170 yards. That doesn't happen at every school. And, you know, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Homer and the wide receivers. And, you know, the line play will be important. Syracuse was able to hold its own against Clemson's outstanding defensive line last week. So I'm sure their confidence is the best it could possibly be at this stage. And this will be another big test for them.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you so much for taking the time. I'm sure this could be a fun game tomorrow afternoon. You enjoy the call, and you enjoy South Florida for a couple days.
Hard not to, Alex. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much. That's Matt Park. He's the play-by-play voice of the Syracuse Orange. You can follow him on Twitter at MattPark1, and he is going to be on the call on the Syracuse side of things tomorrow afternoon. Of course, we will have the Hurricanes call right here on this radio station with Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., and Josh Darrow there. Casey Jones and I will be hosting the pregame show tomorrow morning at the South Gate of Hard Rock Stadium starting at 11:30 a.m. But here tonight, I'm at the BB&T Center. We're getting ready for some Panthers hockey. Cats hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins here tonight. And you know, I'm excited, again, for the second time this regular season to watch Owen Tippett, the 18-year-old, 10th overall draft choice from your Panthers from a few months ago. This kid registered 7 shots on goal last game out in Philadelphia, making his NHL debut on the road last time out, led the Panthers in shots on goal. He's aggressive. He scored 44 goals for his junior club last year. He's got a nose for the net. I think it would be an unbelievable scene if, and I don't want to jinx the young man, but if Owen Tippett can get that first NHL goal here tonight, that would be a great reason to come out here to the arena and check out some Panthers hockey. And the defending Stanley Cup champs are in town. Doesn't get any better than that. You know, Manny Chang, who's engineering tonight, was telling me that he ran into Sidney Crosby in the hallway, and he was, like, in awe. Like, oh, my God, it's Sid the Kid. And you know how Manny's a fanboy. I'm surprised he didn't, like, try to sneak a selfie when he was in that hallway here today. But when we come back, I'll bring in Bill Lindsay and Doug Plagans, the voice of the Panthers. We'll talk a little shop here as the Panthers preparing to host the Penguins. Now, meanwhile, you heard some, I don't know, what is the word I would use to describe this? Discouraging, troubling, disappointing news, all the above, that Hassan Whiteside is not going to play for the Heat tomorrow night. Now, we don't have any reason to believe this is going to be a super long-term thing, but he does have a bruised left knee, a bone bruise, and those things can linger or those can heal up quickly depending on the severity. But he knocked knees with Nikola Vucevic in the opener against Orlando a couple of nights ago, and as a result of that, Hassan Whiteside, as was revealed by Eric Spoelstra today, is not going to play tomorrow night in the home opener. So I heard Ira Winderman saying it best this afternoon. There's been a dose of reality here these last couple of days for the Heat. After all the positivity at the end of last year, the 30-11 finish, you know, you were knocking on the door of a playoff spot after being the laughingstock in the first half of the season. You were a tiebreaker away from making the playoffs. You had a very productive training camp and a very productive preseason. Yet you have defensive lapses against Orlando, and you lose to a Magic team that is not very good. Deion Waiters, he's having his ankle issues, had three, I don't know what you call them, setbacks, three issues with that injured left ankle, needed to have it retaped in the game. He's not 100%. He opted against surgery in the offseason. Maybe he should have gotten surgery. So you're worried about his health. You're wondering if that ankle is a ticking time bomb. And now, early on, when you need to have a fast start because you have your longest homestand of the season coming up starting tomorrow, 6 games at home consecutively. That is the longest homestand of the year right before the longest road trip of the year. The Heat need to, even after the stumbling block in the opener, they need to have a fast start with all these home games to start the season. And if Hassan Whiteside misses more than one of these, because he is going to miss tomorrow night for sure, that can really set you behind the eight ball. This is your $98 million stud, the guy who had 26 and 22 in the opener against Orlando. So now you have to watch the ticking time bomb ankle of Waiters, and you have to watch the troubled left knee of Hassan Whiteside. So all of a sudden, you're seeing a few pieces of adversity already adding up for this Miami Heat squad. My God. Well, we will talk some puck when we come up next with Doug Plagans and Bill Lindsay as we get ready for Panthers-Penguins tonight here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. And it is a hockey night in South Florida. Alex Dono live at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, where we are ready to skate in about 45 minutes here. Well, I'm not ready to skate, but the Florida Panthers are ready to skate when they host the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins here this evening. There's still time to stop by and see us here at the BB&T Center in Sunrise and catch some great hockey. Sidney Crosby in town, of course, and hopefully your Florida Panthers can light the lamp a handful of times here tonight. As we bring in the voice of the Florida Panthers, Doug Plagans. Color analyst Bill Lindsay is here as well. Doug, this is let's start here with the opportunity for the young Owen Tippett, who recorded 7 shots on goal in his NHL debut 3 nights ago. Of course, I would love to see him score his first NHL goal here at home, and I know he's going to be a big part of what the Panthers have to offer here tonight.
He was fantastic the other night. You could see the confidence really just rising and the comfort level just increasing as the game went on. Some of the plays that he was making out there, this is a guy who's big. It's a guy who can certainly shoot the puck. He showed that, but he's got some moves as well, and he's got some good speed. He's a big guy, and again, this is a guy who's going to be a big factor for this Panthers team for a long time to come, and that was the first game for him the other night in Philadelphia. Big home debut for him tonight here at the BB&T Center, and he's excited for this one. But again, you could see as the game went on the other night, even though it was in a loss for the Panthers, he was getting more and more comfortable with each passing shift.
Doug Plagans, voice of the Panthers, with me as we are broadcasting live from the BB&T Center in Sunrise, ready for the Florida Panthers to host the Pittsburgh Penguins. What's been the message, Doug, these last couple of days coming off of, you know, a loss on the road in Philadelphia? How do you see this Panthers team regrouping?
Well, the Panthers, offensively, they certainly have been getting the chances, and I think offensively it's going to be a lot of just continuing to do what they've been doing, especially you look back to the game against Pittsburgh back on Saturday. The Panthers had 46 shots on goal in that game, and they just happened to fall short 4-3. And Pittsburgh, especially at home, that's one of the best teams in the business. A lot of teams go into Pittsburgh, play well, and unfortunately come up short. So the Panthers look to return the favor tonight. The Panthers have been very good on home ice. They want to continue to make the BB&T Center a tough place for visiting teams to come. The Panthers are 2-0 here on home ice this season, so they're going to try and build off the success they've had here at home. I think if you look back to that game against the St. Louis Blues one week and one day ago, I think of the 5 games the Panthers have played, and they played pretty well in every game, but of the 5 games they played, that one might have been the best. It was a 5-2 win. Of course, St. Louis got their second goal late in the game, final minute, when the game was already decided, and that was the last Panthers home game, and as I said, that might have been their best top-to-bottom, start-to-finish game they played so far in the young season.
You know, the shots on goal per game being up is something that I've certainly noticed, but what other kind of trademarks and imprints have you noticed so far from Bob Bugner's team?
Well, number one, I think there's speed. You see speed from every line, and I think the speed that we talked about this, I know our last broadcast that we had here, but the speed at which the team is playing and the precision of the passes, it shows you that what Bob Bugner has instilled in this team, that it's caught on in a hurry. And we knew Bob Bugner was going to teach an exciting brand of hockey, and just with the speed that's being brought to the ice every night, we're seeing that. This is a fast Panthers team, and tonight against Pittsburgh, one of the fastest teams in the business, it's going to be another back-and-forth game similar to what we saw back on Saturday. You know the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to get their chances. You just have to be ready when those come.
I've already gotten a tweet, guys, from Roy in Scotland, who says, "Good evening from Rosewell. Sir, that would be interesting to see Alex Dono on skates." I can stay upright. I can guarantee that. I've skated enough times in my life to guarantee you I can stay upright. I can even stop. When I try to go backwards, it's a little problematic, but I can stay upright and I can stop. I could give Bill Lindsay a run for his money, I think, Bill.
Yeah, I probably could. He could fly out there.
Oh, man. Bill, what have you seen some of the imprints of Bob Bugner here in his first handful of games as Florida Panthers head coach?
Team plays quick, transition game. When they're good defensively, they're able to move the puck up from the defenseman to the forwards and catch the opposition with some odd man rushes. The defensemen are going to join the play. They're going to be that fourth man on the attack, and that provides a little bit extra offense. And for the opposition wingers, they got to be aware because the Florida Panthers defensemen are going to jump up in the play. They're going to be active. And I like that. This Panther group of defensemen can skate extremely well. And they can get back. If they get caught on the offensive side, they can get back on that defensive side. So don't be afraid to get up there and push the play and push that offense. And their forwards as a group, they're playing straight lines. Not a lot of east-west hockey,
right,
which I like. They play that north-south game. They attack. They go to the net. When they're going to the net, they're not swinging by it. They're stopping in front of the net. Technically, this team is doing a lot of good things as far as sound fundamentals. And that's what you're looking for early on. The results, 2-3, they've been good on home ice. A little bit of struggles on the road, but so far they played a pretty good brand of hockey. Just continue, and it's an old saying, but trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
Just continue to trust the process, and you'll get the results.
Well, you sound like Al Golden. Be careful when you yeah. use the words trust the process. But Bill Lindsay and Doug Plagans, they will be on the call here tonight. Your Florida Panthers hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're a little over a half hour away from faceoff. We're a few minutes away from our pregame coverage officially getting underway here in Paradise, in Panther territory, the BB&T Center in beautiful Sunrise, Florida. Got plenty of thank yous to send out here from the Alex Dono Show tonight. We squeezed a lot into 1 hour. Of course, Matt Wilson working the controls back in studio. Manny Chang engineering out here at the BB&T Center. Matt Park, play-by-play voice of the Syracuse Orange, joined us for a scouting report. And, of course, Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He got us ready for Dolphins versus Jets on Sunday. Of course, Hurricanes against Syracuse on Saturday, both of those games at Hard Rock Stadium. Both of those games you can hear right here on this radio station, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.